The Wampanoag were Indians who lived quite differently than the more nomadic tribes who lived farther west. For centuries, they had inhabited close-knit settled communities with domesticated animals and well-defined fields where they practiced agriculture. These Native American communities had, over the course of several centuries, flourished so well that by the time the Mayflower appeared off the shores of what would become Provincetown, Massachusetts, the Wampanoag were a dominant, rich, and powerful confederation of Native American tribes. As Mann explained, Massasoit was an adroit politician, but the dilemma he faced would have tested Machiavelli. About 5 years before, most of his subjects had fallen before a terrible calamity. Whole villages had been depopulated, killed off by infectious diseases brought from Europe into the North American continent by these same settlers. It was all Massasoit could do to hold together the remnants of his people. Adding to his problems, the disaster had not touched the Wampanoag's longtime enemies, the Narragansett Alliance to the west. Soon, Massasoit feared the Narragansett might take advantage of the Wampanoag's weakness and overrun them. And the only solution he could see was fraught with perils of its own, because it involved the foreigners, the people from across the sea. Far from being a passive recipient of European expansion, Massasoit was a brilliant negotiator who agreed to cede some 12,000 acres of depopulated land and resources to the Europeans in exchange for an exclusive alliance that would, he hoped, preserve the Wampanoag for generations to come. There were numerous obstacles standing between Massasoit and his goals. The principal barrier was language. How could he negotiate with the Europeans? Massasoit initially turned to Samoset, sachem or chief of an allied Indian group to the north, who had appeared a few weeks before, having hitched a ride from his home in Maine on an English ship that was traveling along the New England coast. Samoset, it seemed, also spoke a little English, so Massasoit had first sent him to meet with the foreigners. You can imagine the shock of the Puritans when Samoset appeared in their settlement in full Indian garb, calling out, "Welcome, Englishmen!" But Samoset simply lacked the linguistic ability to negotiate such a complex agreement. And soon, Massasoit became increasingly dependent on Tisquantum, more commonly known as Squanto, a distrusted enemy captive whom Massasoit had brought along only reluctantly as a backup interpreter. Tisquantum had lived in England, you see, and he spoke local Native American dialects along with fluent English. Tisquantum had been abducted in 1614 by the English explorer Thomas Hunt, and he had spent 5 years in Europe, first as a slave for a group of Spanish monks, then in England. He had returned to New England in 1619, working as a guide to the explorer Captain Robert Gorges. Some 18 months before, Massasoit and his men had massacred the crew of that ship and had taken Tisquantum captive. During his absence, Tisquantum's entire tribe had been wiped out by disease, probably smallpox. And the simple fact that he was not an ideal choice for so important a negotiation, because Tisquantum's interests did not in any way align with the long-term interests of either Massasoit or the Wampanoag. From the very start, Tisquantum proceeded with his own agenda.